Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. I understand that going through all the founding documents and re-going through them kind of helps reinforce our understanding of what we need to do. But I also understand that variety is the spice of life. And obviously, there's enough variety going on regarding marketing that I'm hoping to pull together enough things to say, folks, How much worse does it need to get before you're actually going to do something? Now, I'm not here to try to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to motivate you. I am trying to change the current American paradigm of just accepting and or thinking, well, it can't be that, you know, this denial thing. No, America needs to get very angry, and we have to start getting very upset. We cannot be looking at what is going on here in America, as well as what's going on around the world, and not be concerned or even scared for our future. We are facing far greater perils than what the framers were facing when they were looking at the capitulation of the unified states underneath the Articles of Confederation. I mean, they were just going to basically go bankrupt as independent states. There were some states that were going to do just very, absolutely fine. But the problem was, is that they were, and they believed in unity. They believed that the Union was more important than saving the Union. We have completely, I'm serious, we have completely lost that perspective here. And so hopefully we can start understanding when we start looking at both what's going on here and what's going on abroad, that maybe we can motivate you into getting involved. It's one thing for the world to go to crap, but it's another thing to allow America to go there too. We do not have to. We can actually pull back on the reins and we can force the federal government into compliance and into behaving well so that they don't spend our future and put us into a future of living under tyranny where we lose and have our Constitution stripped and our liberty stripped from us. So, as you know, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and this is the show that goes through the academic evidence. We're a solution-based show, and there's nobody that's been able to refute this. As a matter of fact, I'm waiting for the day when somebody finally calls some of these other conservative entertainers, go, hey, what's your take on this? And they'll scoff and they go, oh, no, that's... because they won't understand it, they won't address, just like the John Birch Society does not go through the promulgated process of Republic Review. What they want to do is they just want to keep on digging through my old book where I didn't get into the details. And as I'm telling you, the process of Republic Review, the solution has never really changed. The states, as I asserted in my first book, the states have the inherent authority. There's nothing wrong about that. I was going to say nothing wrong with that. There is no fake or falsehood in what I am asserting. My book stands. I mean, I understand that I insulted and or I played to the anti-conventionites' hands by using the word convention. And I understand that they look at that and they go, okay, we can go after him because he used the wrong words. And the bottom line is, if you put it into context with what I'm saying and how I clarified and how we've moved forward. And as a matter of fact, Douglas V. Gibbs has been very, very upfront because I've been working with him since the very beginning. As a matter of fact, when my first book came out, before I even did my second book, I had been working with Douglas Gibbs. And he goes, well, there's going to be people that think you're going to be pro this. And this is one of the reasons why, pro an Article 5 convention. This is why I clarified that in the second book. And even in the second book, I use the words convention still. And how dare you use that word? That needs to be stricken from your vernacular. Just delete it from your mind. And you know what? I have that personality flaw that when somebody tells me I have to do something, then, and I know that it's a hot word with them, it's a hot button word with them, then I try to find ways of using it just to piss them off. So with that, I've given you a little inside glimpse of me and how I operate. And even in my personal lives, I mean, my wife, children will tell you that I can be relentless when I know that there is a, you know, it's a string. If I know you have this hot button, it becomes a string for me that I can pull on and push that button and just, you know, rattle your cart and get you going. And so that's okay. I don't believe that words really matter. You know, like names. I will tell you, and I have lived my life with people having problems spelling and pronouncing my name. And you know what? I don't care. It's just a name. And as long as somebody is trying to communicate, engage, or have a relation and or association, work, whatever you want to call it, and as long as they're respectful, providing dignity and so forth, it's just a name. So that's why I really don't care too much, or that's why maybe I never got too good at names, because people just have problems with that. And, you know, so what? It's not that I'm being disrespectful. It is just a matter of, you know what? People do crazy things, and names are one of the things where language just kind of goes out the window. It's not like a word that is spelled and is pronounced this way or what have you. That's one of the reasons why Facebook has had to include how people's names are to be pronounced so that they can spell it out to help you. Well, you know, if you want to go down that path, then, you know, you need to probably put that in all your correspondence. This is how I want my name pronounced. As a matter of fact, here's another. There was a guy I knew. He went by Robert. And I worked with a Robert who went by Bob. And this one Robert was really, and I'm going to use the word anal, he was very anal retentive. I mean, he was uptight about you calling him Robert. And so one day we were talking, and I had called him Bob a few times, and that's why I know. And as I've told you, I pull those strings or I push that button. And I'm not sure if Bob's listening or Robert's listening. But anyway, he was referring to, you know, the guy that works for me by the name of Bob. And I said, well, what do you mean, Bob? Who's Bob? And I started playing this, and he kept on saying, well, you know, Bob, he works for you, Bob. And he gave me the last name. And I said, oh, you mean Robert? And he goes, no, he's Bob. And I go, no, his name's Robert. And he kind of took a step back, and I go, your name's Robert, and you want to be called Robert. Why would you call him Bob? And he really didn't know how to respond to that, because, I mean, why can't Bob all of a sudden become anal like Robert and say, hey, you know, I want to be called Robert too. Anyway, it's just a name, right? So bottom line is that I have been living a long time, and I really don't care about words. What I really care about is the meaning and whether you understand where I'm coming from and I understand where you're coming from. And that takes a lot of work sometimes. Communication takes work. And I get it that some people like very specific words, be concise, succinct. I understand all that. What I'm trying to do here is to communicate to you how close we are to that precipice of falling, the cliff, the edge of the cliff, of falling off that cliff. As I said in my second book, I said that we're going to fall off this cliff one way or the other, but we have an opportunity at this point in time to choose the direction we fall. when we're pushed off that chair, that cliff, we will go down the path that has been chosen for us by the globalist. In other words, falling into their arms. I say we fall towards the mountain or what have you, cling on to the debris and or the other features along that cliff. Either way, we're going to get hurt, but the hurt and harm will be far greater falling into the globalist arms, period, because we will never recover, because once they catch us, we have been caught and we are done. But if we go and fend for ourselves, we will be able to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and we will climb to a higher height than that precipice and cliff ever was. We will find a newer elevation, a greater elevation as a society that has ever lived, because we'll be able to move forward using our hybrid constitutional republic in obtaining greater enlightenment. It's about time we start using education and working our way out of and disciplining ourselves in the direction, instead of trying to use the old, let's say, the stick and the carrot motivational methods. I believe that if you educate somebody, they will actually be motivated, and motivated as a real fighter. They will become far more effective in going in the direction we need to go than somebody that is either being induced by a carrot and or a stick. So with that, we've got these two promos, and then we'll come back and we'll get into some marketing, because I'm tying all this stuff together again for you today. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so anyway, so as I've been saying, this is the show that we actually provide you the evidence, and we provide you what I'd like to say, the education, so that you actually can be effective. I don't want you to do what I tell you to do. I want you to come. Remember, I have this premise that reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And I believe if we all get that to that point of understanding that it's a contract, that we have the opportunity to audit it while it is still relative and pertinent to the states before the states are told, we're disbanding that. We're not following that anymore because we've gone broke or what have you. We don't want that to happen. We need to step in, audit, and get the federal government back into compliance. If not, they will spend us into oblivion and they will set aside our Constitution. That is the game. That is the plan. This goes all the way back to George Washington's farewell. And when we get into that in the next week, in the next few episodes, we will actually show how George Washington talked about how other people in other places, specifically Europe, was very jealous of the fact that we created a government formed by the people. And so they don't have, and they've never had that liberty. Boy, they wish they had that liberty, but they just can't give up their monarchies. They just can't give up their subjugation. Boy, there's that knowing that you have this noble king that is going to take care of you and succor you. Okay, well, we here have been able to change our paradigms in the past. All we have to do is give up our distractions. Let's start showing the turning of America to where we no longer find indictments that our city halls are vacant and our state capitals are vacant, yet the sporting venues are packed to the gill, where corporations are making billions of dollars because all we've got to do is sit back and be entertained at Circus Maximus. Instead, why don't we step up and voice our opinions and demand compliance? If you went down to the capital of your state, you would find that your state is taking unconstitutional money and accepting unconstitutional laws, policies, programs, regulations, what have you, when you're not, you shouldn't be doing that. These things need to be gutted. And in doing that, people say, oh, well, we're going to lose this money. We will be unleashing our state's economies. I think the only couple states that would say, oh, I don't know if we're going to be better off. Absolutely, you'd be better off if you went down the path like Rhode Island. Rhode Island could easily become like a Singapore, a banking and an industrial place that is working with the rest of the republic. Even though you may not have lumber, even though you may not have mines and wells and other agriculture that can become a great boon in your economy, there are ways and things that can be done. That's why I believe that if Rhode Island cannot be relevant as a state anymore, and it says, you know what, we need to be assimilated into another state, then okay. You know, sometimes we have to make those types of changes so that the state is not dependent upon the social program or the communistic program of taking from those who produce and giving to those who don't. Now, I don't know if Rhode Island is a viable, you know, economic base or not. You know, there's very few states that have the luxury like California of having all these things. Even with the federal government gutting and cutting and taking things away from California, they still have the potential of a great economy. The only thing is that they're destroying their economy by killing their productivity and driving people out. So bottom line is, if you want to listen to this entire show, and in the future, if you can't stream, you should have our listen line number programmed in your phone, whether it be speed dial, what have you, and that number is 605-562-4209. Now, I know I've been telling you and telling you and telling you about China, and it just seems like as the news, you know, permeates today, Apple has bowed to the communist regime of China by pulling the app so that the protesters can no longer track the police. Are you kidding me? Here you go. That is a fascist state. when a state recognizes that they don't have the upper hand in coming after you. And I'm going, huh. And see, this is the genius of people and how they adapt and so forth. But, you know, China doesn't want to actually start killing everybody and dragging them into the street. What they're trying to do is subjugate them and take them, you know, down and force them onto their knees so that they bow to the state. Well, if you support Apple, if you think Apple is a great company, I'm just telling you that they understand where they need to go. And as a matter of fact, Apple is not a champion of individual liberty. Why do you think they have been in China all of this time? All these tech companies that continue understanding the human, human rights violations. There you go. Understanding the human rights violations that are occurring in China day after day with the live organ harvesting and the direction that they're going and monitoring their people and creating even a more and more fascist state and all the rest of the things that they're trying to do. Why would Apple or any other company want to be there? I'll tell you why. Because China has an economy of multi-billion people. And that means that they have an opportunity to make a lot of money. I mean, come on. America is just, what is it, 1/6? Let me see. What is China? Maybe 2 billion, a billion point something. So we're 1/6 or greater of the potential economic opportunity that Apple has and other companies have in China. I mean, China is a big, huge consumer. However, they are the epitome of tyrannical, oppressive government. The Chinese Communist Party only gives to those who are in compliance. Now, I want you to understand that what we need to do is the exact same thing that the Chinese Communist Party does. But what we, as the sovereigns of our constitutional republic, have to do is we have to demand compliance to that government that is supposed to be serving us. We're reversing things. Instead of the government of China demanding compliance as the sovereign, you have to understand in America, we the people at the state levels are sovereigns and that our states are our representatives in our hybrid constitutional republic. Therefore, we have to convince and educate our states. That's why in Wyoming and other states, we're starting to get this message out. I am hoping by 2020, my friends, that this message can actually come to people to finally realize, wow, we are the sovereigns and they're not in compliance. China, the way we're going, for my friends, the way we are going, we are allowing the federal government to become the sovereigns over all things. That's where they believe they are right now. The states still have the ability to knock them down all the pegs necessary to get them into compliance. You know, every single one of these people, you're tired of the swamp, you're tired of these hypocrites and these evil, corrupt people in Congress and in the government itself. They have no protection when we actually force them to come. Either they comply or they're gone. They get pulled and banned from political service, public service, period, for the rest of their lives. That's the power we possess here. That's all we have to do is assert that. We have been going down this path of incrementalism, and everybody understands this. We are watching the frog boil, and the question is, has the frog been cooked, or can we still get out of the pot? I believe we still can get out of the pot, and that's because the states have not succumbed and surrendered their sovereignty in letting their constitution get put aside. So with that, I just want you to, I'm just trying to set the stage for us going forward today and into our next few episodes next week. One of the things that I think is just kind of boggles my mind is the fact that they announced this week that the U.S. consumer prices are unchanged in September. It doesn't seem like my gas prices and some of the prices of my food and other commodities that I'm purchasing are unchanged. It seems like things are, you know, constantly trickling up and up because people are just going to make their profits. When we get into next week, we're going to dive into the cod fishery bounties, you know, so that we can get a good grasp on the General Defense of Welfare Clause. And we're also going to get into George Washington's farewell address, like I promised. So with that, we will be back after these two promos, and we will be getting into what I would say is newsworthy things so that I can hopefully educate and motivate you into acting the way we need to as Americans in saving this republic. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so one of the things I want to do, because I like doing a go back, and sometimes, you know, going up and saying, hey, I told you so, kind of helps out. I mean, it doesn't necessarily help me in what I would say, you know, kind of bolstering or bragging. I know there's lots of people that like doing that. No, but what I like doing is, you know, as things kind of come out from one announcement to the next announcement and so forth, I like connecting the dots, or I like saying, hey, you know, I just talked about this, right? So remember yesterday I talked about Henry Kyle Freese and how he had actually went and kind of told people that he was, you know, or actually very specifically, his girlfriend was giving her the scoop on a couple of different classified stories of foreign weapons or so forth. I mean, kind of minuscule compared to all of the information that was funneling through the State Department going to, at that point in time, the director of the department, the secretary, I should say, the top dog, Bow, wow, wow. Remember, she happened to bark during the campaign. I just love it when things just kind of fall together and just mesh. Anyway, Judicial Watch just came out, and they have been able to obtain data that actually proves that high-ranking people within, and this is a quote-unquote, the State Department, these documents reveal the extent to which high-ranking department officials were aware of then-Secretary Clinton's use of a private server. And they were still sending her emails and so forth. So here's the question I have, because these were uncovered. This was an open, right out on the internet, accessible, and was accessed by the Russians. Maybe that was Russian collusion. I don't know. But the Chinese and all the bad players were able to get to her email. And so, in contrast to good old Henry and what Henry did, in contrast to Hillary, I have to assert, I have to continually state that his defense lawyer needs to stand up and actually go, you know what? What my client did is nothing in contrast to what the State Department secretary did. Nobody is above the law. And, you know, if she can get away with exposing all this kind of classified, and you're not going to hold her accountable, and this has been years now, how long has it been since she's left the State Department? Yeah, that's my point exactly. Years and years, and we've known this, and the whole point is to hold her accountable. We lose liberty when we no longer cling to responsibility in our society and accountability in our society. We do not want to go down the path where government decides whether the consequences of your bad behavior will not be punished or not, because it is arbitrary, and that is the pure definition of tyranny. So with that, let me get into the concept of theocracies, because we've talked about this as well, that we've seen theocracies. And if you heard in the news, Uganda, the president of Uganda, and I'm not even going to attempt his name, but the president of Uganda and the Uganda government has outlawed homosexuality. In other words, if you're caught, engaged, or you are proven, and or I don't know, maybe all somebody has to do is accuse you, and they'll just drag you out and shoot you. Now, I don't know if it's actually going to be shooting, firing squad, hanging, or I don't know what the form of death is, but they are mandating that people be put to death that are homosexuals. Now, this is interesting because this falls down the line of a religious tone. Now, so what I did was I just did a quick lookup of the religious affiliations of the people of Uganda. Remember, Uganda was the place where Idi Amin came to power. And I think the Ugandans kind of, you know, regretted letting that happen. But the number one religious affiliation is the Roman Catholic Church, then the Anglican, then the Muslims, and then Pentecostals, Seventh-day Adventists, and then others. And so my point is it seems like with 13.7% Muslim, and the majority is either Christian of, you know, some form of Christianity, well, what is the direction? Because clearly, I think it was Borneo or somewhere in the Pacific that was actually passed the laws, because I talked about it on the show last year, where they were going down the exact same path of outlawing homosexuality. Now, let's be clear here. The Obama administration, as they went around the world, they were mandating that other governments are actually saying, you know, if you want to kind of a quid pro quo, if you want our aid, you have to start instituting, and we'll help pay for abortions. We're going to help pay for, you know, or you have to institute an acceptance policy of homosexuality. In other words, the American government went around the world kind of helping debase their societies or their governments and people as well. So the question is, are we heading down this secular godlessness of a global religion? Is Uganda just standing up in a theocratic stand against that? Or what the heck is going on? Now, if these people of Uganda are really Christian, then they should understand that it is no longer the Mosaic law of dragging people out into the streets and stoning them. This goes down the same path that I've been saying, and I truly believe that the path forward into enlightenment is via educating the people. When you have an illiterate society that is being dumbed down deliberately, and in America, it is our education system that is doing this. They're using social programming, deliberately debasing and dumbing down people. So, it seems like what we need to do is we need to start here in America, because this is the bouncing board here off of this Uganda topic. We need to start promoting enlightenment. We need to start identifying the necessity and importance of discipline in our society, that we put aside our base desires, those carnal instincts, and say, we are no longer heathens and or animals. We are enlightened human beings, and we understand the importance of learning, education, working, and being productive in making our society better. I mean, the goal of every government person should, or the desire, maybe not the goal, but the desire in everybody's heart should be that everyone should be productive contributors in their own way of however they choose to help in society, but not to become, you know, a leech and or somebody that just wants to suck off the teat of government for the rest of their lives. And when you create programs and policies that allow that to happen, you are creating a world of problems. And that's why we actually have the opportunity, folks. We could turn this around. And the reason why so many people are on that teat of government today is because our government is doing things that they have no constitutional power to do. They can't create the entitlement state, but they did it. The states have the power and authority to dismantle that. The states can easily stand up. It starts with one, and then we start pulling the rest of the states. But the way to do that is for us to start focusing on those who were running for office and making sure that they, one, understand the Constitution, and two, are compliant with it and their state constitution as well. This isn't rocket science. But this is enlightenment, and this is how we change the direction that this nation is facing. Instead of, you know, looking down into the pits of debauchery, all we have to do is look up towards the, you know, the skies and the heavens and say there is no limit to the capacity and capability of this republic, of these people, today and tomorrow. So anyway, How do you like that? Is that a pretty decent stitching? Anywho, as you know, there was a leaked video, and I talked about this before, that this leaked video has exposed how biotech and gene modification can remove a person's religious convictions and deliver the modification in a vaccine. I know I've talked about this before. I have not put this up. It's on YouTube. I need to put this up on our website on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can actually see this for yourself. It's about a 9-minute video, but here this guy's bragging about how they can modify a person's religious behaviors and whether they are a zealot or actually make them a pacifist and no longer involved in, you know, in the religious dogma and actually become more of an appeaser. Well, There's even more information coming along of what they're trying to do with biotech and gene editing, and we will be into that in a few seconds as soon as we come back from these two breaks. So stay tuned. You're going to love this, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so let's put up in front of us this mountain, or this mountain range, of gene altering through injections. And understanding that they are finding genetics. Remember, I talked about this in my first book. That if we go down this path, that we find out somebody possesses within their genes, because there's no way we can really edit this, maybe, I'm just saying hypothetical, that somebody in their genetic makeup has a propensity of being an adulterer. Well, do we then, you know, go ahead and convict that person because of their genetic makeup? It is tantamount, and the reason I went down this path in my book was this is tantamount to the assertion that homosexuality was genetically, you know, it's inflicted upon people genetically. Now, I'm here to tell you that there is no scientific evidence of that. There has been scientific gaming and playing around and studies in altering genetic makeup using vaccinations and so forth, because this was clearly briefed in that Pentagon video that was leaked. So here's the thing. If you've got this mountain or mountain range of the fact of government looking to inject things into your body to change, then how do we get people to actually accept this? Well, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases is seeking to create a vaccine that theoretically would protect, and this is according to G. Edward Griffin, would theoretically protect people from flu strains with a single shot of a universal vaccine. Now, this universal vaccine could actually contain other things that would be editing and or altering a person's DNA to where they no longer susceptible to religious dogma or no longer, you know, a agitator and or, you know, making, and whether it be feminizing, there has been a lot of scientific studies that have actually proven that the when they started introducing soy into formulas for babies so that all babies receive soy, it was the beginning because it actually elevates estrogen in the human body that at a younger age, it helps alter, manipulate, whatever you want to word it as, it helps change the paradigm and or the identity and or the chemistry, that's a better word, the chemistry of a human, whether it be male or female, and make them a little more feminine. Because elevating estrogen kind of helps, you know, feminize people. You know, do we want to start putting testosterone? Well, no, because everybody hates men and they hate the, you know, the manly man of the yesteryears. And so we are and have been, I believe, as a part of this dark background that's been a part of our society for a long time in trying to manipulate and move us in a direction that soy and introducing soy to babies, that all babies got that, would help kind of help us around this corner of help feminizing more and more boys. So with that, I just want you to understand that they're going to offer this universal vaccine so that people will be able to, you know, be non-resistant from flu strains. But what else are they going to be putting in this? Senator Ed Markey introduced a bill that would funnel no less than $1 billion towards this project. That ought to scare you right there. The National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases researchers are working on a DNA vaccine that instead of injecting a piece of virus into a person to stimulate an immune response, would inject synthesized genes. No matter what the promises, who will be given the money, saying if genes are edited, deleted, and or added, there inevitably will be unintended consequences. And I've talked about this all the time. These unintended traits or consequences can never be removed from the human gene pool. Once monsters are created, even accidentally, they will be with us forever, unless we then buy into, well, we made this mistake, or maybe they won't even admit that they made this mistake and say, we have these people, these monsters living amongst us, and we have to eradicate them for the betterment of society. I want to point to Hitler. When Hitler was pointing out that how society was struggling and how they, you know, could, you know, people were burning the mark because they, with their currency, their cash, they were burning it because it was worthless. Firewood actually had more value than the money. So people were actually burning that to keep their houses heated in the wintertime. And so as they were struggling economically, Hitler came out and said, look, we have, you know, almost 500,000 non-productive people, you know, that are either, you know, genetically deformed or what have you, and they can't be productive, and all they are leeches. The first people that were sent to the gas chambers in Germany were not the Jews. It was those who were elderly, who were infirm, those who were, you know, retarded or whatever you want to call that, with defects. They were the first ones to be sent. It was the changing of the hearts and minds of the German people that we had to kill people to survive. Too many people bought into it, and it was a rapid debasing of their society or that nation. And that's how all of a sudden, when Hitler started pointing at the Jews and other problems, we got to go after these people. We got to remove these people from society. I'm telling you, my friends, that history only repeats itself. If they have successfully done these things in the past, they will do the exact same things, if not worse. I promise you that they will try to do these things again, and the wool will be pulled over our eyes because we don't see the sleight of hand. We don't understand what the heck's going on. But we don't have to accept any of this crap. The CDC and this National Institute creating these vaccines and everything else, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, that's unconstitutional. They should not be getting a penny from the states. The federal government has no constitutional enumerated power to protect us from infectious diseases or to try to solve allergies or anything health related. What's it going to take? I mean, they are using all of these facets, all of these tools, whether it be education, welfare, healthcare, all of these things to attack us, to destroy our hybrid constitutional republic and move us in the direction that they want us to be, so that we will land where we are needed for them to land. And I say, to heck with that. I say, up their nose with a rubber hose, if you understand the reference or the citation there. I say that we have to actually take a stand and demand that the federal government get into compliance and undo all of these unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers that they are exercising. My friends, we have the time. We can do this, but we need your help, okay? I'm about ready to wrap up. I got 2 minutes, 2 minute warning here. So I've spoken about theocracies quite a bit and how they have no place in our constitutional republic, whether that be climatology, secularism, or Islam. Now, in Michigan, Dearborn schools follow Sharia law and now serve only halal, or H-A-L-A-L, halal meat. All meat served at public schools in Dearborn, Michigan, now is halal, which is compliant to Sharia law. Halal food allergies, and I'm probably mispronouncing it really bad, adheres to Sharia law because in the way the animals are slaughtered, it's just almost the same thing as kosher. It's almost the same thing as saying all food must be kosher in the state of Virginia and or the state of Michigan, the state of California. That people would reject, that would be a theocracy, and we see theocracy even slipping into Michigan. There is no room for this, my friends. I've been talking about this, and that's why we're kind of stitching all this in. If you want to protect our constitutional republic and our liberties and keep from theocracies establishing themselves and growing, because I'll tell you what, once that nose gets through the tunnel or into the tent, or once that foot gets into the crack of the door, it's hard to get that door shut. You better pull the shotgun out and shoot that nose off or blow those toes off and get that door shut. Because we believe in individual liberty and individual sovereignty. We do not believe in subjugating anybody to the will or the whim of any type of theocracy. The federal government and even state governments cannot mandate individual liberty and individual sovereignty or take away your individual expression and so forth. And so with that, what we want to do is hopefully motivate you. That's why when we come back in the next few episodes, we'll be going through some more source documents, which are the cod fishery bounties and Washington's farewell address. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution?
To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.